The WBFO Brief Podcast is made possible by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Access to the newest treatments and most sophisticated testing is so important. It matters where you receive your cancer care. Spend one day with Roswell Park. Visit roswellpark.org.
Today's WBFO Brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
Republicans in the Erie County Legislature and local town leaders are joining together and criticizing a political move that could alter control of sales tax revenues. Currently, a so-called supermajority, or a minimum of 8 votes in the county legislature, is needed every 2 years to extend the county's sales tax. Lawmakers are now considering a move that would only require a simple majority in the legislature to extend the sales tax. Republicans say the need for a supermajority has prompted compromise between lawmakers and the county executive over spending priorities and has worked to keep taxes lower. Job growth in the area is enjoying modest but steady growth. The Buffalo News reports 11,400 jobs were added in the month of April in the Buffalo-Niagara region, a 2.1% increase from a year ago. The rise is the third highest among the state's metro areas. The construction sector is showing promising improvement, with a 4% rise in jobs over a year ago. And an international organization is recognizing the City of Buffalo's efforts to modify streets to accommodate more modes of transportation. The Congress for the New Urbanism has honored the city with its 2024 Charter Award for Smart Streets Design Plan. In a release, Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown said the reorganization, or rather the recognition, highlights the city's plans to build bike lanes, electric charging stations, and other improvements on city streets. Over 40% of children in the city of Buffalo are living in poverty. That's according to a report from the State Comptroller's Office that examined the number of households with incomes that sit under the official poverty measure as set by the U.S. Census Bureau. By that measure, Buffalo has the 7th worst child poverty rate among U.S. cities, though two other upstate cities, Syracuse and Rochester, have higher rates of poverty. Across New York State, over 735,000 children live in poverty. A household is considered to be in poverty when they do not have the financial resources to meet basic needs such as food, clothing, and shelter. A Jamestown man will spend 19 years in prison for selling narcotics that led to 2 overdose deaths. The U.S. Attorney's Office says 36-year-old Stephen Mojica Medina provided fentanyl to 2 individuals who died from drug overdoses during a 2-week period in 2018. Authorities say their case included evidence produced when Jamestown police conducted controlled purchases of heroin and fentanyl from Medina. And the growing efforts of the Providence Farm Collective are receiving a $50,000 grant from the Health Foundation for Western and Central New York. It's one of 3 awards aimed at boosting health in rural communities that were funded by contributions from billionaire philanthropist Mackenzie Scott. Based in Orchard Park, the Providence Farm Collective works with a mission of cultivating farmer-led and community-rooted agricultural and food systems for under-resourced communities, including refugees and immigrants.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying griffs find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
On Thursday, the Buffalo Federation of Neighborhood Centers, or BFNC, officially cut the ribbon on their new administration building at 2365 Main Street. The structure was once part of Canisius University, known as Demerly Hall. Providing the tour was Chandra Redford, who became CEO in July of 2021. She started out as a case manager 20 years ago and has held other positions, most recently as COO. Now, she's overseeing the $3.5 million acquisition and renovation of the BFNC's new administration building. So Chandra Redfern has a unique firsthand perspective on community needs. And right now, housing is the surging issue. She says requests have grown by over 50%, many of which start out as referrals from the Erie County Department of Social Services.
For rental supplement, yes, they refer people over because they have to know income guidelines for people and things like that. And then they would refer the person over, and then the rental supplement case manager would begin to do the intake process and screen them. And then, you know, figure out what type of housing they need and all those things, and then work through those things. For Office of Mental Health housing, again, that is a referral, and it comes through Erie County Department of Mental Health. So they have a system. People would go on their website, do a referral. People can refer themselves, and then based on, it's really based on need because there is such a backlog in housing. And then, you know, there's a need for housing for people that may be 60% of the AMI, right? Because typically a lot of affordable housing, the AMI rates are lower, 30, you know, 40, that type of thing. But 60%, you could be dealing with a lot of working families. And, you know, I think that's something that we have to consider, that there are people that are working hard, and they need assistance too. So they may not meet the income guidelines for certain things, but how can we house them? How can we help them to continue to be employed and to work and make a living and have a safe home?
You've been in this field now for, I think you said, a couple of decades.
Yeah.
I guess quality of life when it comes to what you see. Getting better, changing, the same as it was when you started?
I think things are a lot more difficult for people than when I started in the field. I think the overall climate of the world in general has just affected people's kindness, generosity, and grace. But when I started out in the field, it was more likely that a neighbor would be looking out for a neighbor. And we would get neighbors that would call us and say, you know, there's this person, they live a couple doors down, or, and I don't know, or, hey, I saw this person wandering the streets and they didn't look well, or, you know, is there something you could do? You don't get as many of those anymore. People tend to really be situated on their own stuff and kind of, and I get it, everybody's dealing with their stuff, but I think that's a big piece of what is missing, right? I think in order to make sure that there's a good quality of life, it has to be a good quality of life for all of our neighbors, not just some of our neighbors. And that requires those of us that maybe are not facing situations to see how we can assist in some way, if possible, even if it's just keeping an eye out and giving someone a call. So things have definitely changed since I started in the field. And I think it makes it a little bit more difficult to do the work as well. You know, people are less likely to get involved. And I understand some of the reasons, but it also makes it difficult to make sure community members are healthy and well.
I'd love to explore some of those reasons with you at a chance when we have a longer conversation.
Absolutely.
You are in demand today. Thanks very much for
Thank you so much for coming out. This
is Chandra Redfern, CEO of the Buffalo Federation of Neighborhood Centers, providing a tour of their new administration building and a deeper look at life in Western New York.
I'm Jay Moran, WBFO News.
With Theater Talk on WBFO, this is Jim Santella.
And I'm Anthony Chase.
One of the early explorations.
Wow, blast from the past. It does not seem possible, but Jim Santella, my original co-host and co-creator of Theater Talk, died last Friday at the age of 86. The great Jim Santella. That was Jim Santella and Anthony Chase. Here we are with Anthony Chase and
Peter Hall for Theater Talk on WBFO.
On WBFO.
Still on WBFO after, what is it now, coming on 32 years?
Yeah, we've been going that long. And started it with Jim back in 1992. Jim and I created the show, and it's been going consistently every week since then. I guess it's us and the guiding light on radio. Then you picked it up, but Jim was a legend of radio before we ever even started this show because he had been on 97 Rock and its predecessor. They've been doing a tribute to him all week and his book chronicling the creation of progressive rock radio in Buffalo, Classic Rock, Classic Jock by Jim Santella. And just doesn't seem possible. He taught me everything I know about radio, gave me so much advice for how to do this show. I never made a decision without him. And it just doesn't seem possible that I can't pick up the phone and say, Jim, let me talk something through with you. And he would.
And I have to tell our listeners, you're not just saying that in memory of Jim, who passed away last Friday. You have consistently sung his praises on the show and when the microphone was off. So truly, he was a great friend to you.
He was a good friend, and he just gave me so much in my life, and I'm very grateful. So, of course, the beat goes on. Something else going more than 30 years is the Artie Awards, and we're getting ready to announce the nominations this Monday. We'll be streaming it from Buffalo Toronto Public Media at 1 p.m. on Monday. So you can find the details on the website. How's your ballot coming, Peter?
Still got a couple on the fence, but I will get it done.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
There are so many plays, and this is a crazy weekend we're coming up to. There are a ton of closings. All of these plays pushing up through this Sunday evening. My gosh.
And some very recent openings. I do want to talk a little bit about two of them. But before that, just a mention that's a change in the musical fair Town of Amherst story. The petition to have a vote on whether or not to borrow money for the construction of the theater in the park was successful, but to run the vote would cost $100,000. So the town decided, look, it's not worth $100,000. We'll simply withdraw this plan. We will not borrow the money. It doesn't mean the theater won't happen. It means that they will have to do it some way other than this loan. And so the story continues to develop. It would certainly be a benefit for the town. But people are really upset about the increases in taxes across Erie County, and the timing was not lucky.
The timing was terrible just yeah. when the tax increase went in. This resolution to help out the musical fair. Still, Amherst Supervisor Brian J. Culp, a big proponent of the new theater, so I'm sure he will find a way.
And they managed to collapse in people's minds. They made it seem like your taxes went up because of this musical fair project, which is completely untrue. In fact, the presence of cultural attractions in the long run lower your taxes. That's my soundbite. The new musical fair theater is going to lower your taxes. But also out in suburban towns, I saw the Melville Boys at Desiderio's Dinner Theater at Bobby J's, comedy by Norm Foster, favorite of J. Desiderio. Very appealing production directed by Jack Hunter. We also went to Jewish Repertory Theater of Western New York, which is in Gettysville, and saw Crossing Delancey, directed by Steve Vaughn.
And everyone who has fallen in love with the movie, and there are millions, you will fall in love with this production. It is charming as all get out. It's a wonderful rom-com. I loved it.
Melville Boys is also kind of a rom-com, except it's the undoing of two roms, but a lot of calm, with a little bit of a terminal illness tossed in, but more for sentimental value than for tragedy, handled with a very light touch. And as always, going out there to see it, that's a very nice restaurant. And then moving north a bit to Gettysville, Crossing Delancey, Adam Yellen as the pickle man, Darlene Pickering Hummert, she plays these grandmother roles, always some grandmother trying to get some young person married, and the granddaughter played by Aaron Lee Dandis.
One of the more charming aspects is, if you know that Aaron Lee Dandis is married to Adam Yellen in real life, it's just so fun to watch them in this uncomfortable first date situation.
Yes. Well, Jim Santella, this one is for you. Grateful always. Remember you always.
With Theater Talk on WBFO, this is Jim Santella.
And I'm Anthony Chase.
For Theater Talk on WBFO,
I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.